You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome to Locked On Pac-12, where we bring you everything you need to know about the Conference of Champions. There's no better place to get all of your Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, hosted by your girl, Cindy Robinson. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, I'm tapping into some very familiar territory and bringing you into the track world. Pac-12 Track and Field Championships makes its return today, so I'm highlighting some top names to look out for in the premier events and sharing what teams will be the toughest to beat. USC is the host site for the meet this year, so if you're in the Southern California area and don't have any plans this weekend, go check out some events. Fun fact, my last season running track at Washington State was the last time the Trojans hosted the conference championships. Don't ask me how I did, though, because that's another story for another time. And I'm fully aware I just dated myself, but it's okay. If you take the time to go look at what that senior year was, you'll know. It doesn't matter. But let's kick things off with the men. So the Oregon Ducks always have some of the best athletes in their track and field program on both sides, men and women. And this year is definitely no exception. Sophomore Cole Hawker, senior Cooper Teer, and redshirt junior Charlie Hunter are some names to look out for in some of the middle to long distance races. Now, Cole Hawker will be running the 800 and 5K this weekend, where he's ranked 5th and 1st nationally in those respective events. Cooper Teer will be taking on the 1500 and the 5K, where he's ranked number 2 nationally in both. And then Charlie Hunter is the reigning NCAA indoor 800 champion. And so he's only run the 800 twice this outdoor season, and he's already number 10 on the NCAA list. And his biggest competition will probably be USC's Isaiah Jewett, who is the clear favorite as he leads the NCAA in the 800. So he has the top time in the world right now. I know these races seem like the less sexier ones, you know, it's not the super exciting sprints and all of that, but you would be surprised how intense they can get. The 800 continues to get faster and faster each year, and in my opinion, very close to becoming a sprint race in itself. A few names in that 1500 that may give Cooper a run for his money is senior Paul Ryan and sophomore Zach Stallings out of Washington State. So go Cougs! And then freshman Sam Tanner and senior Mick Stanovsek, I hope I said that right, out of Washington. That's UW, the rivals. We don't, you know, whatever. The Pacific Northwest schools will be battling it out in the front of the pack with all of their times just under 3 minutes and 40 seconds. So I know, like I said, it's not a sprint per se, but it will definitely be intense and interesting to watching them battle it out and go back and forth. I'm sure, you know, some will settle behind each other in that last stretch. Will be one to watch for sure, I promise you. Now on to some races that bring the real excitement, the sprints and hurdles. These races can be a little unpredictable even when there seems to be a clear favorite by time, but there's so many variables that could alter a race. False starts, injuries, wind, or just an off day. With that being said, absolutely no one in the Pac-12 has run a time even close to Oregon freshman Michael Williams this year. His 10:03 has him ranked 3rd in the country and 7th on the conference all-time top 10 list. If all the cards fall for him on race day, he'll be your 100-meter champion for sure. No question. Next fastest times would be Oregon freshman Xavier Naeem, who has run a 10:20. And then USC junior Devontae Burnett, who's run a 10:22, and Oregon senior Gaston Bouchereau with 10:29. Now, here's the thing. For those not well-versed in track and field, it's important for me to note for you that just because these are the times posted does not mean the athletes have ran those times every time they race this year. That's just their season's best mark, and that goes for all the other events as well. In the 200, here's a few names to look out for. Oregon senior Jacoby McNamara, he's run a 20:66, so 20.66. UCLA junior Kenroy Higgins, 20.88. Arizona junior Maj Williams, 20.88 as well. And then UCLA sophomore Ishmael Turner has run a 20.91. And Arizona junior Trevor Volpe, I think Volpe maybe, 20.91 as well. So all under 21, but you never know who may surprise you and run an unexpected personal best. One thing I love about these races, you'll never know who may have a breakout performance. The men's 400 meter field looks a little underwhelming with just one runner coming in with a sub 45 time. That's Arizona freshman Johnny Blockberger with a 44.71. If he actually runs that time or better, he could grab the stadium record, which is currently 44.76, ran in 2013 by former USC star Bryshawn Nellum. So if we see him run that 44.71 or lower, or even just under 44.76, he'll get that stadium record, which is always cool to see at those meets because they make a big deal on the announcement and be like, you know, this person now holds this record. Always a great time though. If you're into hurdles, you'll definitely want to check out the 400 meter hurdles. USC senior Cameron Samuel is leading the pack in the 400 hurdles as his time has him ranked number 4 nationally. But on his heels is ASU freshman Jamar Marshall Jr. and sophomore Cass Elliott out of UW. Cass is actually being coached by a former teammate and former coach of mine from Washington State, Jeshua Anderson and Mark McDonald. Coach Mack was Jeshua's coach at Washington State, and he led him to be one of the best hurdlers in Pac-12 history. Jeshua is a 3-time NCAA champion, 4-time Pac-12 champion, and the 2011 U.S. champion in the 400-meter hurdles. And he's dominated the Pac-12 and NCAA, so with both of them as his coach, there's no telling what Cass Elliott will be able to do this weekend. And I'm telling you, track is so unpredictable, you'll never know when you'll run that personal best or be fueled by the competition to run faster than you even imagine. And I'm even willing to put my money on it over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore because this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts, so make sure you use that promo code LOCKEDON and take advantage of the deals right now while you can. Moving on to the women, the real stars of the show. The women of the Pac-12 deserve all the respect. 5 of the nation's top 25 teams come from this conference. Now, you may not want to give Pac-12 credit in other sports, but in this one, you have no choice. The 2-time defending conference champions lead the pack and have a bunch of athletes among the top 10 nationally. In the 100 meters, you have USC senior T.T. Terry, who is the lone Pac-12 woman on the Bowerman watch list. Basically, the Heisman Award of track and field. Literally the highest award you can get in track. She's undefeated in the event this season with a best of 11.08, tying for 4th nationally. Who she tied with? Well, that would be Oregon junior Kemba Nelson. If both of them have great prelims and make it to the final round, it will be one of the best showdowns of the entire meet. Watching 100 meters competitions with times that are so close, athletes that are running times that are so close to each other, is so intense. It literally is less than 12 seconds, clearly, that you see everything move so fast, and everything requires everything to go right, if that makes sense. Like, your start has to be good, you have to have a good acceleration, you have to have a good transition into your top speed. Like, it's no room for error in that race to run your best. Both of them are also running the 200 meters, but Kemba is the current favorite, being the only runner under 23 seconds. ASU senior Josephine Anoki is poised to drop under 23, as well as USC junior Lene Tava-Thomas. But do not sleep on defending 200 champ Angie Annalis. The USC senior was named 2019's Pac-12 Women's Track Athlete of the Year, and she'll be looking to put out a good time ahead of Olympic trials. USC women are basically expected to dominate the sprints, with senior Kaylin Roberts leading the 400-meter field. She's run a 51.14 this season, and the closest listed times are two of her teammates, junior Bailey Lear, 51.57, and senior Kyra Constantine, 51.58. Literally 0.01 of a second apart from each other. The Trojan women can very well sweep that race and would not be the first time we've seen a performance like that from USC. They're always very dominant, and they always seem to have maybe two or three athletes making it to the finals of Pac-12s or NCAAs in one race. USC redshirt senior Anna Cockrell is back to defend her 400-meter hurdles title with the only time below 56 seconds. UCLA junior Shay Anderson and Arizona junior Shannon Meisberger are the favorites to give her a run for her money. Cockrell is also the favorite for the 100-meter hurdles, running 12.79, but her freshman teammate Jasmine Jones is worth keeping an eye on, guys. She's running a 12.89, literally a tenth of a second apart from each other. Another name in the mix is Emily Sloan, a sophomore out of Oregon that will be looking to drop into the 12s this weekend. That race is so intense. I know I keep using that word, but it's literally the best way to describe these races. But with the hurdles, you have a barrier in front of you. So not only are you running at top speed, but you're running over something at top speed. And so there's so many variables to that as well. You don't want to hit a hurdle. The wrong few steps can mess up your pattern, your run pattern. So that will be a race worth watching. It's going to be good, very competitive. Now in the 800 meters, we finally have someone not from USC leading the pack. Colorado senior Sage Herta is the clear favorite. She's been twice voted Pac-12 Women's Track Athlete of the Week this season, and she's looking to break that 2-minute barrier. Her school record time of 2 minutes and just 0.62 of a second is second in the country. And I just think that this championship and this type of meet is exactly where you would see someone like Sage break those 2 minutes. The competition is going to be high. The stakes are high considering these are points for your school and just a step ahead of going to nationals. So I definitely think that race is going to be something to watch. Again, 800 doesn't sound like the sexiest race, but I promise you to see those two laps go by so quickly, it's something to watch, I promise you. Another interesting but less popular race is the steeplechase. Sage's teammate Madison Borman is currently sixth in the nation, and she'll look to keep the Buffs conference title streak going. Since 2012, Colorado has won that race each year. So this is basically Colorado's race. Steeplechase is one of those long distance runs that have a different element to them, which is hurtling over a barrier and sometimes into water. And just knowing how long they're going for, it's definitely an incredible race. The endurance that those athletes have to compete it is crazy. Definitely something to watch, but this for sure is Colorado's race to win. So I'm excited. This women's team's definitely bringing some exciting athletes to watch and some good competition. So for me, on race days, I was always too nervous to eat too much before my actual event. So I wasn't necessarily the healthiest person, I guess you would say, because, you know, you're supposed to eat full meals before you race, fuel your body and stuff. And I would eat like small snacks, but nothing too big. I could have easily benefited from Built Bars. They come in 9 different flavors, which is great to be able to switch it up and have a variety for as many track meets that we had. And then, you know, it's something lightweight and healthy. So the different flavors they have are coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Something for everyone. I'm more of a chocolate or salted caramel fan, but if you want to be adventurous and try them all, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each flavor. Obviously, the best part about Built Bars are the health benefits and the flavors. So most of the flavors have 17 to 18 grams of protein. It's low in calories, sugar, and net carbs. It has 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. I promise you guys, from what I hear, they're so worth it. And if even if you're not an athlete, they're good for you. If you're training, you're just working out, trying to watch what you eat, or just trying to be a healthier person overall. Definitely a good snack for you, your children, your mother, your father, whoever. It doesn't matter. It's good for the whole family. Okay, so some names to keep an eye out for in the field events is Oregon's Ben Milligan. He's fifth in NCAA in high jump right now. And USC's Ernie Sears follows at eighth in high jump. And he's actually the Pac-12 defending champ. So the one thing about like jumps and other field events like shot put, hammer, all of that is you're not competing with someone at the exact same moment. You run your jump and you go do your jump, and then the next person follows along and does their jump, and then you kind of just battle. You have three chances to jump a certain jump to move to the next round and so forth and so far. But it's a little like you can be fueled by someone else in competition, but it's a different type of fuel. Like you're not running a lot alongside someone like you are in a race. So it'll be interesting to see Ernie and Ben compete against each other. Another name to look out for is USC's Jordan Scott. He has the Pac-12 leading mark in triple jump. And then USC's McKay Johnson has the sixth national mark in shot put. And when I've been saying national, you guys, I'm definitely meaning the NCAA, not national as in people who are pro. But some of these athletes will be competing at the pro level after this season, especially trying to go into the Olympics. Moving forward, Arizona has two of the nation's best in the hammer throw on the men's side, Israel Oloyedi, maybe? And then he has the third best mark in the country right now. Jordan Geist, he's 2019's Pac-12 Men's Field Athlete of the Year, and he has the sixth best mark at this moment, but he is the Pac-12 defending champ in the hammer throw. So definitely another one that, you know, you'll look out for more results. I don't often feel like they broadcast a lot of the field events. Sometimes they'll show like a montage of the jumps, or if it was like a really good record-breaking throw, they'll show that. But more than likely, you'll have to follow that just looking at the results online. ASU's redshirt junior Turner Washington leads the NCAA in shot put and discus. And he's actually on the Bowerman watch list and has been named the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association National Athlete of the Week 3 times this season. So he's definitely someone that's going to come in and compete and win some points for ASU. And I'll explain the little point system in a bit, but I just want to keep going through these names just so that you know who to keep looking out for on the field side of things. If you're interested in jumps, shot put, hammer, discus, all that type of stuff, javelin throw. Cal's Josh Johnson is another one to look out for in the shot put. He's ranked 10th nationally right now. And then Washington's Elijah Mason is ranked 5th nationally in the discus, and then WSU's John Colby is ranked 10th in the discus. So the throws are going to have a bit of Pacific Northwest representatives, and obviously, you know, I'm rooting for my Cougs at all times. So let's go. You guys get some points on the board and make a name for yourselves. On the women's side, UCLA's Alyssa Wilson was the 2019 Pac-12 Women's Field Athlete of the Year, and she's nationally ranked 2nd in the hammer and 9th in the shot put. And then Arizona has some of the top field athletes in the conference, which they always do. They always have great jumpers, and this year is no different. They have 3 of the NCAA's top 10 high jumpers in Lillian Lowe, Carla Turan, and Alexa Porpisky. I don't know. I think I butchered her name, and I'm so sorry, Alexa. But the defending Pac-12 shot put champion is also from Arizona, Samantha Knowing. See these names? I'm sorry. I'm always butchering people's names, and I promise I try so hard, but some of them are a little difficult. But she transferred from their rivals, ASU, and was actually the defending Pac-12. She's the defending Pac-12 shot put champion, but from when she was at ASU. She's currently 3rd nationally in the event. And then Jordan Van Klinken, she's ranked 5th nationally in the discus and 10th in the shot put. And Cal's Cameron Rogers is the defending conference hammer champ. And she leads the NCAA again this season. And finally, you know, I got to end with another WSU person. WSU's Charisma Taylor is ninth in the nation in triple jump. So there's going to be some good competition in the field. And again, you never know what people show up and do on actual meet day. Pac-12 championship is one of those days where anything can happen and you will see some people bring out some marks that probably they didn't even expect. Oregon's men's team is currently ranked number 3 nationally, and they're the 13-time defending Pac-12 champions. So most people think that track is just an individual sport besides the relay, but there's a whole point system to determine what team wins a meet, and it's based off the performances of individuals and relays in each event. So depending on what place you come in between first and eighth place in each event, there are certain amounts of points designated to your team. So the Ducks on the men's side have 9 times or marks among the top 10 on the NCAA list, and they're also ranked 6th nationally in the 4x1. They're definitely favorites to take home the Pac-12 champion, and USC men are right behind them, coming in at number 4th nationally. The Trojans have finished in the top 3 in 8 of the last 11 conference meets. They finished in 5th place in 2019, and they have 7 times or marks among the top 10 in the country this outdoor season. To top it off, they have the 7th ranked 4x4. I definitely think that it could get close between SC and Oregon. I'm putting my money on Oregon just because of the amount of people they have on the sprint side and distance side to actually compete and bring some points to that team. But we'll see. It could be a really close race. No pun intended, but a really close situation where it can come down to that 4x4 relay to decide who wins the meet. Moving on to the women. If you couldn't tell by all the breakdowns of the different events that I did cover, USC is for sure the favorite on the women's side. I'm not sure if you remember this, but in 2018, the Trojans women 4x4 relay went viral for their historic comeback to win NCAAs. And then in 2019, the 4x4 relay had a huge comeback at the Pac-12 Championships, setting a meet record. So this year they have an all-star cast of 400 runners and competitors stacked in multiple events. In my opinion, the Trojan women are the ones to beat. They're definitely going to be the 2021 Pac-12 champions. Now, you can track results of the meet at Pac-12.com and the Pac-12 Now app. On Sunday, they'll be showing the final round of the meet on Pac-12 Network. So if you have that channel, tune in. It's going to be good, you guys. Like, Pac-12 meet is always really good in my opinion. If you're the casual track and field fan, this is a perfect meet to watch because it's basically the top times of the conference competing against each other. It's almost like preparing for watching the Olympics, where you know you're coming together to see the top athletes in the world compete. So this is probably the step right before it on the collegiate level, because you have nationals still to look forward to. But either way, definitely tune into the Pac-12 championships. If you're in SoCal, go watch it at USC. It'll definitely be worth your weekend and worth your time. It'll be fun. Also, be sure to check out Locked On Today podcast. The question of the day is, can the New York Mets follow in the New York Knicks' footsteps? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And then also follow Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts, and on Twitter at LO_Pac-12. Thanks for listening, and be sure to stay locked on Pac-12 on Locked On Network.